Blog Talk Radio.
You're tuned in to Paranormal Horizons, only on 106.5 KITC FM and Blog Talk Radio. Join your hosts, Jason Ophir and Pat Rice, as we delve into the world of the paranormal, the world of ghosts, UFOs, demons, and even Bigfoot. Welcome to the world of the paranormal.
Good evening, everyone. This is Jason Ophir, and welcome to another episode of Paranormal Horizons, which can only be heard on Blog Talk Radio. And also, we want to remind everybody at 106.5 KITCFM.com. Now, Pat Rice was unable to make it tonight, unfortunately. And me and her have been so busy lately. I know that she just moved and she's tied up doing all that fun moving stuff. I absolutely hate moving. But I've been busy as well. Today I had to take a class for first aid for healthcare providers. Boy, that was fun. I had to, at certain portions during the day in the classroom, I had to work with a partner and we had to play dead on the floor and they had to like roll you over so you don't aspirate and yeah, it was all sorts of good fun. And then tomorrow, I have to go back to this place and get my CPR certification. I'm really not excited about that. But despite that, it is a good skill to have. And I would recommend anyone out there that does not have a CPR certification to get that, because you never know when that will come in useful. So that's why I've been so busy lately. So our guest tonight is going to be psychic Cheryl Ann Fletcher. Now, she was on a couple weeks ago, and we were kind of towards the end of the discussion. We were talking about possession and exorcism experiences that she had had, and it was getting really interesting. But unfortunately, we had to cut the show off, and we decided that we need to get her back on as soon as possible so we can kind of pick up where we left off. Because the story that she was talking about towards the end of the show was really interesting, so we're looking forward to that. I did want to talk a little bit about a news story. Now, this isn't paranormal at all, but it's slightly disturbing, and maybe it'll be a little bit of a revelation to people out there, but again, it's not a paranormal story. I ran across this earlier today. There was these parents who had a baby monitor on their baby, for peace of mind, because you know you have a child, you want to have a baby monitor, which usually has audio and video of their child, so you can make sure they're okay and stuff like that. Well, late one night, the family heard a strange, loud male's voice coming over their baby monitor. And so they went to investigate this man's voice, and as they approached the baby monitor, the camera on it began to turn and rotate, and this man's voice came over the baby monitor and started cursing out this family. So that's kind of creepy. So yeah, it wasn't paranormal. Now maybe some people out there would think it's paranormal, a demon coming through the baby monitor or whatever. But no, this is somebody had hacked into this baby monitor. So it's important for everybody to be aware out there that if you have anything connected to the internet, there's always the possibility of it becoming hacked and letting creepy people hack into those sort of things and see what's going on in the rooms of your house or your baby. I can just imagine some really creepy guy late at night with the lights turned off in his living room utilizing this camera to watch this kid. It is scary, so you always want to make sure that you are doing your due diligence to make it more difficult for these hackers to take control of these objects, but baby monitors and anything connected to the internet. Some of the ways that you can help protect yourself is make sure that your home internet is password protected. It's amazing how many people out there don't protect their wireless internet. I know when I was a private investigator and I was doing surveillance, this was before I had an AT&T Air card. I know I'm bad. You know, you'd always be looking for those signals that aren't protected so you can get on the internet. But no, I guess officially I never did that because that would be wrong. But if I was an investigator and I was doing surveillance and I wanted to get on the internet and I was a bad investigator, a naughty investigator, I would probably access somebody's free internet. But no, I would never do that. So that's the story for the night. Not paranormal at all. So we have Sherilyn Fletcher in queue right now. I think I'll bring her on so we can talk a little bit more about the her experiences that we were talking on the previous show. Hey, Cheryl.
Hey, Jason.
Hey. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
I'm good. Pat Rice wasn't able to make it tonight, so I am rolling solo. It's just you and me.
Oh, well, you know, we can handle it, but that's that. I'm sorry to hear that, darn it.
Well, she's moving and it's got a lot going on, so she wasn't able to make it. So I told her that, you know, we were so eager to get you back on the show. I didn't want to postpone it or anything because we wanted to hear so much more about what we were talking with the whole scary experiences with that possession. But before we get into that, I was hoping that for the benefit of the listeners that might not have heard the show a couple of weeks ago, I was wondering if you could just kind of give a little introduction of yourself, and then maybe we can pick up where we left off last time.
That's certainly fine, Jason. My name is Sherilyn Fletcher. I am a medium, a psychic, renowned. I have had quite a lot of experience in the paranormal since the age of 11, and I'm currently 54. I do have my own business. I do readings. I have worked cold cases. I've done, like I said, a lot of paranormal investigations with my team with this Paranormal Seekers of Iowa. I have done a couple of exorcisms. I cleanse when there's evil presence in either commercial or, you know, homes or with a person, something that's attached to them. I have worked several cases, and I love what I do. I have a very special talent and gift, and that's who I am.
Awesome. Now, I'm trying to remember the specifics of the one incident you were talking about, and if it's okay, if we could kind of pick up from the last time, if you could kind of go over that incident with the possession, because it was really interesting, but the show was running out of time, and we had to cut it off, but I definitely wanted to hear more on that.
Oh, okay. Well, I can kind of pick back up where we had left off. We were talking... and I did check with my niece, by the way, and she did listen to the last show, and she was completely fine with mentioning her name.
Oh, cool.
Anyway, I had an experience with my niece, Jamie, several years back. She unfortunately had a demonic possession. I was notified through her friend, EJ, that something was wrong with my niece and had been for a few weeks. My niece had not been eating. Her behaviors were nothing like what EJ had ever seen, and I'll clearly explain that. A lot of foul language. Her body, her body itself, it was changing. She didn't look like herself. She was dressing poorly. She would not wear makeup. She was very sickly. And so EJ, knowing what I do and how close Jamie and I are, she called me up and said, Aunt Cheryl, she says, something is wrong with Jamie. Is there, any way you can come over? And I said, just give me a little bit of information. And she kind of said the same stuff, and I said, oh my gosh, I said, okay. I said, well, I'm going to go ahead and come on over this evening. So I did go over that same evening, and approaching the house, I knew right away something was horribly wrong. The house presented itself as a very dark picture to me. And as I got my equipment and stuff out of my trunk, I approached the house, and Jamie had no clue I was coming over. And I got up to the front porch and went to reach for the door to go in, you know, go on in the house. And there's a big picture window as you approach the porch. And as I was going up that way, there was no one there. And all of a sudden, when I reached for the handle, Jamie was right there. And I did not see her walk by the door, or I mean by the door or the window. She was just immediately right there, and I found that very alarming. I went to enter the house, and she was like, "What are you doing here?" And I was like, "Well, you know, I kind of need to come and see you." And she got very upset. You know, she did drop the F-bomb a couple of times, and she walked away from me, which she would never do. She and I, you know, were a very loving family, and she walked away kind of abruptly. And EJ happened to be in the kitchen, and she noticed that too. That's very unusual for my niece. And I went downstairs with them. They were hanging out in the basement, very dark area. And when I went to go down the basement stairs, there was one part I kind of got to tell you about Jason. My hair was lifted, and EJ noticed it as well as Jamie. She turned and looked at me. She went, "Oh," like that. And as we were going down the stairs, I noticed that Jamie wasn't even walking correctly. Her whole character, her whole body, disposition was way off. So I went downstairs, and she sat with me, with EJ and a couple other people, and she just wasn't talking like she should. And it was no time at all. She became very outwardly with language that didn't make sense. And as I sat next to her, I kept looking at her going, "Oh, my God, something has got my niece." And sure enough, it wasn't a couple of minutes later, her eyes rolled back in her head. And I you know, immediately you think that somebody's having a seizure. Well, it wasn't. Her back arched backwards into the couch, and I knew right away she was in big trouble. And I proceeded to physically grab her and lean her down onto the couch on her back, and start praying the Lord's Prayer, and, you know, doing everything I could. She started talking language that did not belong to Jamie. At one point, I was praying and screaming so hard that I was really praying for my niece's safety. And I realized at that point we had a possession going on. And how I clearly knew that was not only did her eyes change color, but her tongue came out about 2 inches longer than a normal tongue would be.
Yikes.
And then when I was screaming at whatever it was to tell me its name, her head reared up, because I was basically, at that point in time, sitting on her. I was sitting on her head, sitting directly on her body. And she reared up, and I had a hold of her arms, and her strength was unbelievable. She about threw me off the couch, and I held on for dear life, and I realized, when she was getting ready to lift her head up, her eyes were not Jamie. Her tongue came out. She lurched forward with her head and her neck. And she was within probably an inch or two from my face, and she tried to bite me in the face twice. And then when I screamed and I said, I want you to get the H-E-L-L toothpicks out of my niece, and, you know, I want your name, and it screamed Leo really loud, and I kept asking her, "Jamie, come back," you know, asking her who her Lord was, and it wouldn't even let her say Jesus without her tongue becoming twisted. She could not pronounce Jesus. And then I started telling her, come on, Jamie, I was praying. We were all praying. And eventually it's, now I gotta tell your audience that this went on for 6.5 hours.
Oh, my goodness. Now, I wanted to ask you real quick. Now, you said that she couldn't get the word Jesus out. Was she saying other words that were clear, so it was really obvious that the word Jesus was causing some problems? I'm just curious.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, when she,
okay.
You know, when she announced Leo, and they were in and out of signs, so she would say, Aunt Cheryl, help me, and it was very clear. But when I asked specifically for her to ask, I asked her specifically, who is your Lord and Savior? She, when she went to say it, she got the J out, and that was it. Her tongue, you could tell her tongue was trying to struggle to say Jesus, and she couldn't get it out. And that went on forever. And it wasn't until about 6.5 hours later, let me back up the truck. After that incident, there was levitation. She did rise off the couch about 2 inches, and I was on top of her. And at that time, I weighed about 145, and she weighed, I think, maybe 115, and she raised me off the couch, and that was completely witnessed. And I
so it wasn't, like, was her body, like, totally not touching the couch, or could it have been, she's
right.
Arching her back, or...
We were off the couch.
Totally wild. I mean, that's freaky.
And EJ saw it. Obviously, there was another gentleman there, too. He saw it. I mean, and I felt it. I didn't have to look to see that I had moved. And, wow. And then after that happened, it probably wasn't until about an hour later, after constantly praying and praying and praying and praying, we're all praying, and, you know, asking her, you know, to try to say Jesus. And it wasn't until about not even a half an hour before this thing finally came out of her that she was able to start, you know, pronouncing words. We knew she was coming back. And the minute it happened, it was just like night and day. It was just like her head went back into the pillow, and she raised her head back up, looked me right in the face, and said, Aunt Cheryl, what is wrong? Because, I mean, at this point in time, I look like Kiss. You know, I had makeup clear down my face. I was bawling so hard, and she was, like, crying and holding me. Aunt Cheryl, what's wrong? She had absolutely no clue what had happened to her at all. At all.
I mean, that's terrifying. You know, you always see that stuff in movies, but, I mean, it's something that I wouldn't want to see or experience. And I've always been kind of notable for being, I do doubt, I'm just skeptical about the whole demon thing, but it's because I haven't experienced it. You know, if I was there and saw something like that, I guarantee you I'd probably be a believer, you know.
Oh, and that's just like any, you know, paranormal experience or a psychic, you know. One that's genuine, one that isn't, just a fly-by-night character. But until you've experienced the paranormal or the demonic side or, been read by somebody who's fully renowned, you know, of course, be skeptic. There's too much out there that, you know, you just got to be careful, you know, with whom you choose to go to. But yeah, it was an experience I'll never forget. And as I was going to end that piece was when it did finally leave my niece. I knew because there was I saw something go from my niece, and it shot off into her washroom. And as I turned to look into the doorway, I mean to tell you, I saw the eyes right away, the red eyes. I knew it had left, and it left completely.
Mm-hmm.
And the house, her basement, became a lot lighter. The feeling of the atmosphere alone was a lot more peaceful. And she was crying. She didn't understand what was going on. I told her that it had been recorded. It had absolutely recording of the EVP. The whole thing is on an EVP. And I, EJ, of course, said, you know, Jamie, I really don't think you should listen to it. Of course, you know, coming out of that, you're susceptible to reattack because your body's weak and, you know, you're questioning faith. You're questioning everything because you don't understand what, you know. So it wasn't until, I bet, 8 months out that she finally came to me after, you know, wanting to know what had happened. Because there was 6.5 hours of her life that she has no concept of time or where she was. So she finally came to me and asked me if she could listen to it, and I said, absolutely, if you're ready. And she said, yes, I am ready. And she sat in, you know, in horror, listening to me scream bloody murder for this thing to get out of my knees, weeping, begging Christ to, you know, let her, you know, help her and let this, get this thing out of her. And my God.
Sounds like an incredible ordeal. Now, we do have a caller in queue. Are you okay with taking a caller?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. But before we get to the caller, I wanted to ask you, now, was she doing anything that would have inhibited this? Was she involved in the occult?
Not at all. No.
Nothing. Huh.
Nothing.
Because normally you hear, like, people are playing with Ouija boards or they're ghost hunters or something like that. I don't know that I've ever personally talked to somebody that knew somebody or themselves that were just randomly, you know, possessed like that.
Mm-hmm. There had been in her house, before she bought it, a death of her dad. It is her dad's home. She purchased the home and chose to live in it. But there have been stories that there was demonic activity there prior because of satanic and, you know, Ouija board and people messing around with stuff. Yeah, and, you know, she found all that out after the event because, you know, that was my first question to her was, do you even know the history of the house? You know, with your dad owning it, he was only in there like 12 years. I said, but do you even know the history, not only the ground that it's built on? Do you know, mm-hmm. you know, what, you know, all about the structure, you know, prior tenants, blah, blah, blah. And she said, oh, no, you know, it was her dad's purchase. He would have known more of that. So she did do some digging with the ex-wife, and apparently they had prior tenants that were pretty, you know, not so great, I guess, you know, with their behaviors and whatnot. So to me, that opens a lot of doors. But anyway, yeah.
I wonder if people do that maliciously.
I'm just going to let me make myself clear. She had never done anything to instigate anything like that at all.
Yeah, you know, I wonder if people open doors maliciously. I know most of the time they don't, but I guess if all those things are real, that they don't understand the long-lasting implications of performing stuff like that and how it affects other lives, you know.
Well, I'll tell you what, Jason, I'm a total, hands down, you can't give me an excuse good enough to use a Ouija board. It goes way back in history. Some people use it for good. Some people use it for bad. But either way you look at it, you're going to get some effect from it. And I strongly believe in Christ, and I also believe in the devil. And I'm going to tell you what. I have had an experience where I had a friend of mine that had one, and I took that thing out of their house, and I put it in the back of my trunk, threw holy water on it. That thing kind of warped itself. I didn't do it. It warped, and I took it to my home at the time, and I took that thing out into the back trash, and I poured gasoline on that, and I burned that. And because why? Because that family that I knew had been suffering extreme different behaviors since our kids were playing with it, and the kids were, great students in school, And it wasn't too long after that they had found out that they had been playing with it. Things started getting really ugly in their home. The kids, really, oh. their behavior did a complete flip. The parents ended up, you know, the guy went to jail for beating up his wife. When I found out about it, I was like, is there a Ouija board in the home? And they're like, yeah, why? I'm like, oh, my Lord, it's a no wonder. Yeah. But they were never, ever types of people that would have, you know, would have done anything of the sort.
Yeah, I've played with a Ouija board, you know, when I was younger. There were some creepy things that happened, but, I'm a big skeptic with everything, but I'm also smart enough to not play with those things anymore because,
yeah.
you know, maybe I'm wrong and there is something to it, and the last thing I need in my life, I got enough drama going on. I don't need any kind of supernatural goings on. But
yep.
I want to take a quick break here, and
okay.
when we come back, we'll get back to the caller, and the commercial I'm going to play is for is one I played earlier. This is a show that I've been asked to help co-host on, which plays the last Friday of the month, I believe. So I'm going to play that real quick, and we'll get to our caller.
Supernatural Gallery.
This is Jason Ophir from Paranormal Horizons. Are you into the supernatural? Ghosts? UFOs? Demons? Well, if you are, you're going to want to make sure you give a listen to Supernatural Gallery. Supernatural Gallery is hosted by Jerry Williams, Joey Giggles, and R.L. Demery. Supernatural Gallery is at WIRN 81.3, which can be found at www.wirn813.com. The supernatural world is all around us. We don't always see it, but it's there. Why don't you give Supernatural Gallery a listen and see if you can find some answers? I know I want to find some answers. I also want to remind everybody that you're listening to Paranormal Horizons on Blog Talk Radio, but also on 106.5 KITCFM.com. That show plays, it's a repeat of this show. It plays at Saturday at 10 p.m. And with that, I think we'll get to our caller, I believe, is Joey Giggles. Hey, Joey.
Hey, what's going on, Jason?
Hey, not much. Sorry to keep you on hold for a little bit there. How you doing?
That's okay. Everything is good, man. Everything is good. Just actually sitting, relaxing, talking to you on my phone, watching The Haunted on Destination America. Pretty interesting stuff.
Ooh. Hey, have you ever played with a Ouija board?
I have never played with a Ouija board, and I never intend to. After watching some of these shows and seeing, you know, what could possibly happen by playing with a Ouija board, no, I don't think I'll be playing with a Ouija board anytime soon.
That's probably good. Hey, do you have any questions for Cheryl? We're talking about this scary possession experience that she was involved in.
Yeah, sure. Well, firstly, you know, being a novice, you know, with this whole thing, you know, I'm not really a skeptic. I do believe in it. I do believe in paranormal. And I'm a big paranormal guy. I always watch the shows on TV and everything. Really interesting how, you know, the paranormal is and learning about it and stuff like that. Actually going through some classes now through some really interesting paranormal classes to learn about a little bit more about ghosts and stuff like that. So my first question is, you know, how do you know if the entity is a regular entity like a ghost or a demon? How do you really decipher between the two? Is there, you know, a different aura? You know, is there a different, you know, presence per se? How do you, I guess, decipher the difference between a regular entity and a demon?
That's a good question.
Well, let me just answer your question, Joey. A demonic presence is going to have a sulfur or a disgusting smell. It's going to want to harm you. It's going to probably harm you. is going to probably mark. It's not going to talk to you like I am. It's going to talk to you in a way that it's going to scare the livid heebie-jeebies out of you. The difference between a demonic and a ghost. Ghosts, when you're working with a ghost, they generally, all they want to do is get their story out. They usually want to have an audience. They want to be able to, you know, they have unfinished business. Everybody, when we die, then they're done that. When we die, we're either, you know, watching TV or at a baseball game or driving in our car. We're on the road to doing something. And when we die, and if we die suddenly with unfinished business, all we want to do is come back and have somebody listen.
Mm-hmm.
And get the messages to someone else. And the difference is you get a better feeling. It's not so frightening, and it's not so alarming, I guess. For me, personally, when I'm working in paranormal, if it's demonic, for me, being a psychic, renowned psychic, and know what I'm doing when it comes to talking to the other side, I know immediately what I'm dealing with. Because my body, I get sick, I can throw up, I get very weak, as if it's, you know, taking my energy. I end up getting super hot, like my body temperature raises, and I get a headache, and I feel overall sickly. And then I can smell the disgust or the sulfur. That is how I know the difference. When I am working with ghosts, the only difference between the two is that the ghosts don't come in and smell.
Gotcha.
They don't come in and, you know, immediately attack you. There are ghosts that have issues. Oh, absolutely. I mean, can you even imagine if you're watching, like, you know, your favorite football team and you die and you were waiting for that score? Well, somebody's going to be upset. And when you go in and provoke, you know, these ghosts, and you provoke to get answers, and you're working with a ghost that's already upset, well, you're out there provoking, and guess what? You're going to get what you get.
So here's a good question for you. Now, when it comes down to it, now, you said, you know, ghosts could get agitated, but demons are worse. So, What is a poltergeist then? Is that a mad ghost or is that a bad demon? What is that?
A poltergeist is I call them a ghost with an attitude.
So is that what that is? Really?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a ghost with an attitude. I've only had one instance of like that. Myself personally, but when I ghost hunt, I pretty much run up against the demonic and the ghosts that have issues, and it's usually, for me, usually it's because they've got unfinished business to talk about, and they're just wanting their family members or someone that they miss, or, you know, they just want to get out what they didn't get to have a chance to say. And I always, always say to people, never, ever go to bed with the sun down, going down without solving problems or telling somebody that you love them.
Always. I always do that. Yep, I hear you on that one. That's a good one. You know, like I said, I'm going through some classes now through a school, paranormal online school, just to learn a little bit more, you know, about, you know, the paranormal and stuff. Being that I'm a novice, you know, I don't really consider myself an intermediate. I do believe in it, like I said. You know, it's just there's a lot to learn, you know, with this stuff, you know. I don't want to be going into houses and not knowing what I'm doing, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, so it's like, yeah, I would love to go on ghost hunts. Why not? You know, I'd probably be scared the first couple of times, you know. But, you know, just to, I guess, get used to it and stuff like that, you know, it would be interesting to actually do that, you know. That would be a bucket list item, definitely, to do that. You know, what I find interesting is that children and animals can actually see the apparition, where us as adults, you know, really can't see the apparitions as good as animals and children do. And I was just wondering.
They are very, very sensitive. Children are, and this is my opinion, children are born innocent until society corrupts their innocence.
True.
Children, let me explain myself. Children are very wide open to, you know, being able to see this stuff. And a lot of people say, oh, you know, people that believe in it won't discredit it,
mm-hmm.
or make them feel like they're, you know, they've got an imaginary playmate that really doesn't exist and that it always is existing. It isn't until people say, well, you know, that's just a playmate, you know, or they take him to a psychologist or something like that. And that's unfortunate, because children are gifted, totally gifted, until someone tells them that they are not.
Mm-hmm.
And then it opens up a whole new can of worms. But animals, let me tell you about animals. Animals know long before people do that something is going wrong. You watch an animal when there's a storm come in, it'll tell you a lot by the, just by observation.
Oh, that's freaky.
And then also, animals will chase orbs. I have a dog where I live now. It's a Weimaraner. And it's interesting enough, the breed is called a gray ghost. And this dog, I can see the orbs flying through this house that I'm in now, and this dog chases those orbs and has chased it into the basement.
Wow.
That's, I know when my cat, like, starts looking around and I'm looking like, okay, I don't see a bug, you know, it really it starts to freak me out. But I did want to say really quick, we do have a question in chat, and the listener wanted to know, have you ever been in a situation where there's been a murder-suicide, and they wanted to know how you handled it. What are the implications of a murder-suicide and stuff like that?
Well, how I go about stuff like that is when I'm approached to do a case like that or a reading for the family. Well, first of all, when there's a murder or a suicide, it has to be treated very, very carefully. In a murder case I just worked on here in Lincoln, Nebraska, the gentleman, he had been murdered in a park here in Lincoln. And it just so happens that my cousin knew the girl. The girl happened to be a family member and approached her and told her about me. Well, not only did I meet with his family, they were very, very distraught. They were very mad at the police department because the police were not doing them enough justice. And interesting enough, I came on board and sat down with the investigator and the police and told them what I knew. They took the information, but it's unfortunate because a lot of police departments throughout the United States don't work with psychics or mediums or people that are gifted to help a case. But these people do have the information, and it's ironic as heck because I named two people that were involved in this murder. And ironically enough, when the family members contacted them, they left the state. and that was obvious sign that they had something to do with the murder. Now, when it comes to suicide to your viewer, that is a very, very sensitive matter. The family is obviously in a different realm of pain, because a lot of times people think that they were at fault for something to cause that person to commit suicide. I can tell you, whoever your viewer is, my brother committed suicide. My brother, I saw his suicide before it happened. And unfortunately, that was the first vision I ever had at 11 years old. And I warned my mom about it. She didn't believe it. The next morning, it was on January 23rd of 1971 at 1:23 in the morning when we were notified that my brother had committed suicide. He had hung himself. And exactly what I told my mom the day before was going to happen. And
terrifying.
Yeah, my own brother, you know, first vision, my own brother, my best friend. When it comes to suicide, when I work with, you know, families with suicide, the number one goal for me is to help them understand that it wasn't their fault by any means. In fact, statistics now say that generally a suicide victim has an imbalance or a chemical imbalance or some kind of an imbalance, mental imbalance, that brings them to that, or a deep depression. But these types of cases, to your viewer, is something that is, the way I handle it, is with care, love, and compassion, because I've been there. And I hope that helped your viewer.
So it's not like when somebody, do you believe that, well, it doesn't sound like you believe that when somebody commits suicide that they're going to go to a hell for an eternity or anything like that?
My personal belief, I'm a Christ-driven woman, and I have been for many years. I walk him, but I also, I don't talk a lot about him because I display it in my behavior, who I am. But I completely, hands down, everybody, regardless of how you die, you may be in purgatory for a while or kind of in a different dimension, but eventually, to me, my theory, my belief is that's why God gives people with talents that are able to work with the other side. They need to kind of like when we have an issue and we got to tell somebody about it so we can move on. Well, my professional, as well as what I know from the afterlife, is that they hang out until they can, until somebody listens, and then they move on.
Mm-hmm.
They don't go to hell.
Yeah, that's what we hear a lot of. You know, you commit suicide, that's it. It's game over. Your soul's going to burn in hell for an eternity. I don't really like that idea. I don't think that that's fair because, like you're saying, people do suffer from a variety of mental illness. So it's not, and also people have terrible experiences. And I don't know. I never liked the idea of somebody just being punished for eternity for something like that.
No, absolutely not. Our Lord is a forgiving Lord. You know, He endures. We endure all things, and so does He. And you know, I'm not here to preach about Christ, but you know, from what I know and where I've been, there have been times in my life where I understand now why I came back is to do His work. You know, and prove to the world that there is another side, or another.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, there's three dimensions, but to come back and be able to say so. And stand up to any, you know, anybody and prove it. And I, you know, when I can walk into a room being summoned by my team to come in and say, Cheryl, who's in this room? And I come in and I say, Earl, and nobody can hear that. The afterlife by their own ears heard that it announced its name was Earl. And then we listen to it and we put it up on Facebook and guess what? just as I said Earl right after it, it said Earl, but it's only on tape that you can hear the other side say it. So, you know, I guess where I'm going with this is that there is another, there is the afterlife. There's three dimensions. And I have to give really big kudos to, you know, Chad or Brian Kellick. Brian Kellick, who is Chad Kellick's brother from American Ghost Hunters. He came into Farrar School in Farrar, Iowa, and did a seminar with his book about dimensions. And when I listened to it, I about fell out of my chair because I said, oh, my God, that to me makes total sense because of what I endured when I passed. What a great book.
Or what was the name of that again, real quick?
Oh, Brian Kellick, C-E-L, I think it's C-E-L-A-K. That would be... Chad Kellick's brother from American Ghost Hunters. He wrote a book about it.
I'll have to check that out. The whole dimensions thing really, the whole quantum physics and mechanics and dimensions really, really intrigues me.
It's all about mathematics, Jason. It's all about mathematics, too. And let me, I want to touch on that, too, if we have time. Ever since I had my death experience when I was 11, the numbers that have followed me all my life have been the number 3, the number 11, the number 33, 45, and 50. And everywhere I go, like if I go on a ghost hunt, or if I go to see a family in need, or if I do a read, it never fails. Those numbers come into play for some reason. Either A, they live on a house, street address is 1133, or, you know, I traveled from Lincoln, Nebraska to Syracuse, New York to see my son in the Army. And our entire path that we took on the interstates played all those numbers. In fact, the exit to my son in Fort Drum Base, New York was exit 33. But it's all about mathematics, you know, and quantum. Go ahead, hon.
I got it. You brought up this numbers thing, and my ears just kind of perked up because I have a question. It's been bothering me for a long time. I've presented it to other people a couple of times, but it's to the point it's ridiculous, and I know a lot of people are having this experience, but it seems like every time when I look at a clock, it's 11:11. I mean, it's every day, at night, and during the day. Always I'm looking at the clock at 11:11. It's really bizarre. What's that mean?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I've heard several theories. You know, that's when you're supposed to pray for a good blessing, blah, blah. You know, I could come up with a list of different variations to that number. But ironically, you know, we look at the clock once because we've heard somebody say, oh, it's 11:11. Well, you know, psychologically, we look at it. But in my mind, when I see the numbers 11:11, they're double numbers. Double numbers play a huge, huge part in what's about to happen. And, or there's a reason for those numbers to play because something is going to happen. Whenever I've seen it, either I've been blessed with an exuberant amount of money, or I've had a friend call that I haven't heard from for a long time. Or, you know, I end up going on a trip that I didn't plan. Or something happens. And, you know, it just all depends on the person's perception.
Mm-hmm.
Ironically,
you
know, something good has always come to me. It's never been anything bad.
Yeah. Well, I always think of it as a good thing, but to me it was almost like, I'm trying to figure out what exactly is the universe telling me? Why am I seeing this number? But we did have another question in chat, and since we were on the topic of suicide, the question was, you know, Robin Williams passed away of suicide, and now there's people out there that are trying to get EVPs or claiming they have EVPs. Do you believe that to be poor taste, or what's your opinion? Is it too soon?
It's way too soon.
That's what I thought.
In fact, what my thoughts are on this subject, you know, immediately anybody's going to want to run out there and find out why or talk to him. But you know what? Realistically, when the family's ready, for God's sake, then they should be contacting someone to do that. For someone to run out and get it, or somebody to, you know, what I say, and I hope nobody takes this wrong because I apologize in advance, but when you want to hop on a bandwagon to get the best evidence in the whole planet, you know, especially a celebrity, I mean, their life is already clouded and judgmental and hounding. You know, my theory is, my thoughts, my beliefs is, you know, give that family time, you know, to grieve, and Robin's going to come through definitely when he's ready. Whether or not they have actual evidence, I'm kind of skeptical on that.
Yeah, I am too, and it's to me it's so soon that it almost becomes offensive, you know. But I see that we're running out of time here. I want to thank Joey for calling into the show. Thanks for calling in. We're going to wrap this up here in a minute, and I appreciate your support, and I look forward to the Supernatural Gallery as well.
Yeah, I can't wait to have you on the show. It's going to be a great show. We're coming back in September. It's the last Friday of every month, and really exciting stuff right there. We have a lot of great hosts, including Jason being with us on Supernatural Gallery. So really exciting, and can't wait to start next month.
Awesome. Well, I'm looking forward to it, and thanks for calling in.
My pleasure. Take care, buddy.
Thank you, Joey.
We'll talk to you later.
Take care. Nice talking to you.
Likewise.
Bye-bye.
Alrighty.
Now.
Bye. All right. Well, we are running out of time here. We've got a few minutes left, and I want to give Cheryl an opportunity to let everybody know where people can contact her. I also want to remind our listeners that you're listening to Paranormal Horizons on Blog Talk Radio and also 106.5 KITC FM. You can hear the archive show Saturday at 10 p.m. So, Cheryl, how can people find out more about you and get in contact with you and all that good stuff?
Well, the first one is they can Facebook me under the name Cheryl Ann, and it's C-H-E-R-Y-L. Middle name is Ann, A-N-N. Last name or actual maiden name would be Elliot. It's E-L-L-I-O-T-T. And then my last name is Fletcher, and it's F-L-E-T-C-H-E-R.
Awesome.
And then the second way, I'm sorry, Jason?
Oh, I just said awesome.
Okay, and then the second way is I have an email. It's Cheryl, C-H-E-R-Y-L, at extraordinaryconnectionswithcherylann.com, by email.
Cool. And now you have services and stuff. What kind of services are you providing? I've been to your website a few times.
I provide individual readings, and I do that over the phone or in person. I always travel to meet the need of the client. I do gallery reads. I also will provide any type of a ghost hunt. I can also do cold cases, missing, presumed, investigations on murders and suicides. I can pretty much do it all.
Wow. So, okay, well, we're running out of time here. I'm looking at my notes again. Pat Rice couldn't make it tonight, so I'm rolling solo here. But
well, you'd be
hopefully
sure to call. Thank you, Jason.
Hopefully she'll be back next week. But I want to thank all the listeners. I got a few words to say in a second here, but I want to thank Cheryl for calling into the show and giving us part two regarding the exorcism and possession stuff. It was really, really interesting, and I'm sure if I saw what you saw, well, you know, I never want to see what you saw, but it is astonishing and very scary.
Yes, it is. Well, thank you, Jason, for having me on your show. It's always a delight.
It's great, and you're such a good friend on Facebook, and Cheryl's just a really super nice person. So for the listeners out there, if you need a reading, be sure to get in contact with her and utilize some of her services. She's a really wonderful lady. And thanks again, Cheryl, for calling in. And I'm sure we'll be talking on Facebook.
Absolutely. You have a great night, Jason, and thank you to all your listeners, too.
All righty. Have a good night.
Good night, Jason.
Good night. All righty. Well, wow, what a great show. Exorcisms, possession. Terrifying, terrifying stuff. Like I said, nothing that I ever want to experience, see, or be within one square mile of. I have no interest in delving into the dark paranormal Ouija boards and seances. And yeah, I try and stay as far away from that as possible because I'm really just a big sissy. So what we have for the next show I'm excited about, we're going to have a gentleman by the name of David Bryce. He's going to come on and talk to aliens with us. And if I wasn't alone, I'd be able to go through my screen here and hit the UFO sound effects. But my mind is going between so many directions, between chat, the dashboard, and my notes here. So I can't play any sound effects. But yeah, we're going to have David Bryce, and he's going to talk about abductions and stuff like that. And the reason I'm excited about that is because, as some of you may know, that really my big forte is I do the paranormal investigating, and I do, occasionally or rarely paranormal investigating, but my big interest, my big focus is UFOs and abductions, because I've had some pretty astounding events in my life along those lines that I've talked about on the show before. Fortunately, I probably won't talk about it again anytime soon, but the archive show is somewhere in there to listen to because it's really crazy stuff. So we're going to have him next Tuesday. Also, on the map, but it's not a set time, is we really want to do another live investigation from a haunted location. We do have a location in mind, but we haven't done any legwork to set it up and see if it's viable for us to do a live broadcast from that location, broadcast/investigation. But we're going to get rolling on that. It is going to happen. We are going to broadcast from a haunted location, like we did a while back at the Edgefield Hotel. So we are going to do that. Pat Rice is moving, so once she gets settled in, we're gonna make it happen. It's going to be exciting and something that everybody is going to want to listen to. And with that, that's pretty much it. I hope everybody has a fantastic week. Tomorrow I'll be learning CPR, so that's going to be really – oh, finals. CPR and finals is what I have left to do. So y'all know I'm not going to have an exciting week. It's going to be mundane and educational, which is never fun. So with that, I bid everybody adieu. Thank you for listening to Paranormal Horizons. Hope you have a great week, and I'll see you all next Tuesday. And if I can find my button here, I can hit a little extra. There we go. Good night, everyone. You have been listening to Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Pat Rice and Jason Ophir. Be sure to come listen to the show next Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, only on Blog Talk Radio. And also, check out our Facebook at Paranormal Horizons on Facebook.